What's the title of the sermon tonight? Name. All of them had something, their praise songs or praise psalms that we have sung tonight, but what they have also in common is the recognition of God's name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Psalm 9, those who know your name put their trust in you, and that's what we want to talk about this evening. Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus' instruction on how to pray. He says in verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come tonight and we gather around your word. We have asked, we have invoked your presence, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to come and to be with us and to bless us as we worship you and as we seek to learn from you. And we ask now very specifically that you would help us to understand from the Lord Jesus how we are to pray, how we are not to use empty phrases, but rather words that are full and pregnant with meaning. And we ask that you would help us to understand what the words mean, so that when we come into your presence, we would pray in such a way that we truly engage you as the God that you are. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Head, heart, and hands. It's more than just an alliterative scheme to provide the preacher with some way to structure his sermon. It really represents the biblical order of how things work in the spiritual realm, biblical psychology, if you will. The head, what we think about, the mind, the heart, our emotions, affections, feelings, and then the hands, what we do, how we go about life, our behavior, how we treat other people. The biblical order, is the way it's supposed to work, is that the head informs the heart, which then gives direction to our hands. What we think, how we feel, and what we do. When Jesus begins to teach us about prayer, he begins with the head. We're to think of God only as he has revealed himself, as we have sung tonight, his name. His name is to control what we think about God. But then Jesus includes the heart. We're to hallow his name. Now, that's not a word that we use very much, except when it gets in October and we're looking to buy candy for people that might come to our doors. Halloween, it's just not a word that we use in our everyday English. But this is, for good or bad, it's the word that we're stuck with because of the English and the familiarity that we all have with the traditional way of saying the Lord's Prayer. And for that reason, I think that this is the most difficult petition to understand in the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus begins with the head. We're supposed to think about God's name. And then he includes the heart. We're to hallow his name. God and what he reveals about himself is special and is to be treated in a special way. And we're to feel a certain way when we think about God's revelation. And then what we think and feel about God is to have an effect on how we live. If we didn't become different people because of our knowledge of God, our religion would be worthless. All of our behavior is to be guided by our heads and our hearts. And so Jesus teaches us to begin our prayers in this way: Hallowed be your name. Notice that it is a petition. This is one of the ways in which, again, that it's kind of hard to get a grasp as to what Jesus is saying, because it sounds like a wish. Well, may your name be hallowed. You know, I hope that your name is holy and that people will treat it in a holy way. We need to remind ourselves that we're actually asking for something. We're making a request of God. We are asking God for something. And so tonight, what are we really asking for in this first petition? First of all, when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are inviting God to fill our heads with the true knowledge of who he is. This is a prayer for us to know God. You can use that Heidelberg Catechism answer as your sermon outline for tonight, for your notes, because that's what we're going to do. And I don't make any apology for that. We are studying what Jesus is teaching us, but we are allowing the Heidelberg Catechism to fill out and to expound what that means. This is a prayer for us to truly know God. Hallowed be your name means help us to really know you. God's name is the many ways in which he makes himself known to us. His name is not what we call him. His name is what he reveals of himself to us. It includes the various titles that are used by Scripture to reveal God. He's Lord, Sovereign, the Almighty, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jesus, Holy Spirit. But it also includes all that God has revealed about himself, as we have sung tonight. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 9, as we have sung tonight, those who know your name put their trust in you. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not just using it as a magical incantation, you know, just to say his name, but we are calling upon everything that is revealed about God and summarized in that name. Those who call upon that name will be saved. God's name is the means by which we know who he is. We need to know truth about God. Who he is, what he's done, where he can be found, how he can be approached, what he has promised, what he loves, what he hates, how he can help us. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying, "God, help me to see you in creation, in providence, in history. Help me that when I look at the world and I can see your handiwork, the beauty of this world, that I see something of you because you're revealing yourself. Keep me from thinking that you're somebody that you're not," which is idolatry. You know, coming up with ideas on our own as to what we think about God. It's a prayer to God, "Help me to understand your word and what you're saying to me. Help me to see who you are revealed through your son, Jesus." Hallowed be your name means help us to really know you. Now, that's a good prayer to pray every time you open your Bible. Hallowed be your name. God, help me to really know you. It's a good prayer to pray at the beginning of a sermon, a worship service. God, help me to really know you. It's a prayer that we can pray for our children. You know, whether we homeschool or send them to a Christian school or we send them to public school, we want God to reveal himself through his truth to our children. God, help my children come to know who you really are. God's name is the means by which we really know God Himself. God's name is God Himself. It's the revelation of God as He reveals Himself in Scripture. The devotional tone of the Heidelberg Catechism becomes very evident here. Hallowed be your name means help us to really know you. It becomes very personal at this point. You find this strand of thought all the way through the Heidelberg Catechism. They're not satisfied to just give objective statements of truth, but rather engaging the person who's being instructed by the catechism into a relationship with God. Help us to really know you. It's a cry for God's help. Not just knowing about God, but knowing God Himself. There's a difference. When you come to really know God Himself, you can't stay the same. You have to change. It amounts to much more than just having facts in your head about who God is, as though we were thinking of any other, you know, fact of history or something that may be true of another person. There's a difference between knowing about God and truly knowing Him. To really know God is to experience a radical change in your whole person, to enter into a new relationship with God. Do you really want to know who God is? I mean, do you really want to enter into that relationship of friendship and fellowship with God, where you go to Him and you pray and He speaks to you in His Word, and you go through your day depending upon Him and expecting that He's going to be there, and He is going to be your prophet, priest, and king through all of life? Well, Jesus says, pray this, hallowed be your name. And when we say those words, remember what they mean. God, help us, help me to really know you. Secondly, when we pray, hallowed be your name, we invite God to fill our hearts with His grace and Holy Spirit. It's a prayer not just to know God, but to honor God. Heidelberg Catechism. Hallowed be your name means help us to really know you. And then a second request, help us to really bless, worship, and praise you. Knowing God moves from the head to the heart. The heart is warmed. It is comforted. We begin to think about who God is. We begin to engage God as He really is, and that moves from just knowledge of God to actually comforting us, warming our heart, so that our emotions and our affections are engaged, and we come to a greater appreciation for and an attachment to God. The word hallow means to sanctify, to set it apart. Treat it as special. We want to treat God in what He reveals about Himself in a special way. And so it's not just knowing God, but it's actually responding to Him as we would with any other person, our head and then our heart. When we pray this petition, we're praying for help in blessing God. Psalm 86, we closed our service this morning with this hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. That's a way of blessing God. We recognize that God is good, and we bless Him for that. We don't add anything to God. You know, it's not like God blesses us, He gives us something of His goodness. When we bless God, it's, you know, we're recognizing His goodness. But in this petition, we pray for God to help us to bless Him. We're praying for help to worship Him, to recognize that He's God and that we are not, and that He is worthy of our unfeigned allegiance. And we're praying for help in praising Him, to brag on God, to boast on God, hymn 31 that we sang this morning, My God, How Wonderful Thou Art. We rehearse of those things that we are thankful for, that we want to praise God for. Pastor Donovan had us think through that tonight. You know, what is it that you want to praise God for? What is it that's going on? What is it about God that you're thinking about? If you were to write a psalm contain in that psalm the things that you want to bless and worship and praise God for, you're thinking of His goodness and the many ways in which He has blessed you. This is a prayer to honor Him for what He's done and for who He is. Hallowed be Your name means that we bless, worship, and praise You for. Notice the catechism language. It gives us a reason. What should I be thinking about? When I'm thinking about blessing God, worshiping God, praising God, what am I supposed to be thinking? Well, here's the answer. For all Your works and for all that shines forth from them. You know, we worship God for all of His works. Creation. Providence. The way that God has worked through history. Certainly redemption. For all Your works and for all that shines forth from Your works. It's not just praising God for what He has done as we think about creation, providence, history, but what is it that shines forth from that? You know, you praise God for sending Jesus Christ. You're praising Him for what He has done, His work. But what does that work mean? What shines forth from that? You know, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son. You begin to see in what God has done something of God Himself, and that shines forth. You really can't know God apart from His works, what He has done. I think this is why there's so much history in the Bible. The Bible rehearses the works of God. Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, the Gospels, the book of Acts. You go through all of those historical books, you see stories and history. And as you read that and think about it, you think, well, look what God was doing. And not just to have a record of history, but those works then point to who God is. Well, here's the kind of God that does things like that. And so we learn much about God, and we are moved to praise Him and to worship Him because of what we see. And then the Heidelberg Catechism gives this sampling of God's attributes, Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. In all that God does, we can see what He's able to do, His almighty power. That He always does what is best, His wisdom. That He's kind to all. That He does what is right, and yet He shows mercy. There's justice, there's mercy. And that He's true and can be trusted in all that He does. Do you really want to honor God? Do you want to worship God? Do you want to praise God? Do you want to acknowledge God as your greatest good? Jesus says, pray, hallowed be Your name. Help us to bless, worship, and praise You. And then thirdly, when we pray, hallowed be Your name, we invite God to move our hands. Not just to fill our heads with knowledge and truly come to know God, and not just to have our feelings and affections changed where it affects our heart, but actually to move our hands, to live in God. Head, heart, hands, our behavior in life. And so the Heidelberg Catechism says, thirdly, it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. You and I are citizens of heaven. What we do reflects upon the King of heaven. I mean, we represent God This is in Philippians, citizens of heaven. You conduct yourself in a certain way, and as people look at how you live, they're going to make conclusions about the God that you serve. You don't want God's name to be blasphemed because of something that you're doing. Well, they call themselves a Christian. Now, a lot of criticism is unjust, but you don't want to be blamed for being a thief, an adulterer, a murderer. Peter talks about, you know, if you're going to suffer, don't suffer for doing something wrong. You know, suffer for the name of Christ. We do not want God's name to be blasphemed because of us, but rather honored and praised. True religion is not just knowing certain facts. It's not just having certain religious feelings. It involves our living, what we think, say, and do. Ray Huber used to say, "I'd rather see a testimony any day than hear one." Anybody can stand up and give a testimony. You know, here's what Jesus did in my life. He said, "I'd rather see a testimony than hear one." Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine in such a way that people can see your good works, and then they turn and they glorify our Father in heaven." Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do. As a Christian, daily pray for help to think right thoughts. A couple of passages, I'll pick them all out of Ephesians, but Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind," what you're thinking, "and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." We don't want bad thoughts. We don't want evil thoughts. We don't want useless thoughts. We want to use our minds and use our intellects for God's glory. When you pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying for God to help us with our thoughts. As a Christian, daily pray to say for help to say the right thing. Again, Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." We don't want bad things coming out of our mouths. We don't want evil things, useless things. We want to build up others, to encourage them and to attract them to Christ. And then as a Christian, daily pray for help to do the right thing. Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus says, first and foremost, pray, "Hallowed be your name." Let's pray.